place. Hey, Nick, you want to
do a little prayer this morning for us?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you the praise and glory, Lord,
for being our Father.
We thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son down, Lord, and crucifying him, Lord, on the cross so we can take and just have authority to come to you, Lord, and shed his blood, Lord, for us, Lord, so we can be cleansed of sin.
Glory, amen.
But Father, we thank you too, Father, for the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So that, Lord, we can be cleansed, Lord, from any iniquities, Lord, or anything, Lord, that you would take and want. Because we want to do your will, Father. We want to love you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to have this. And I pray now in the name of Jesus, through that fire and through the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, that you speak through my sister to confirm your word, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
We bless you.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Amen. I have to get my phone. I won't go too far over. Hopefully I won't take up too much of apostle time, but this is an important message. And one of my students requested. I said, well, you need to teach on the fire of God. You know, when John was baptized, he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one that cometh after me.
That's right.
Praise God, that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and
fire.
Praise God. And sometimes we forget that fire part. We get the Holy Ghost, but we forget the fire part. And I want y'all to know as students how important the fire is.
Yeah.
The fire is very important. In these last hour, we need to know the importance of the fire of God. Praise God. And not only that, you know, the Holy Spirit brings the fire. When we get the Holy Spirit, we get the fire. But sometimes we allow the fire to go out.
That's right.
Like the 10 virgins, five were foolish. They allowed the fire to go what?
Out.
But we as people of God, we can't allow the fire to go out.
Amen.
Now we said so many things that the fire does.
Yeah.
It gives us our passion.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you let that fire go out, that's Jeremiah.
That's right.
I mean, Jeremiah was having bad things happen to him. People wouldn't listen. They throw him down in the hole and wouldn't listen to that. And God be telling them all these great things. And the people didn't want to hear Jeremiah saying, I'm just not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to try to tell the people what you say. But because he had that fire on the inside of him, he said, it's just like fire shut up in my bone. I will not stop. Mm-hmm. His flesh wanted to stop, but what was on the inside of him was greater. He said, it's like fire. So we see fire does passion. Fire purifies. And if you don't believe fire purifies, ask Isaiah.
Yeah,
Isaiah was, God was trying to fix a prophet to sin to that generation. But Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I hang out, people around me, they're unclean. He said, the angel said, no problem with that. I can just reach over and get some fire and put on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That'll purify. You won't go purify this and put it in the fire.
Yes,
I it won't destroy, but it'll bring out all the purities.
That's right.
So it's so many things. I'm not going to go into all the things that fire does in our lives.
And he heard God after that and understood it.
He heard God and he understood God after then. But without the fire, he couldn't. Even on the day of Pentecost.
Oh, Lord, that's good.
Even on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, said on their tongues, it was like fire.
Yes,
on their tongues. And sometimes we forget.
Amen.
We forget about all that, you know? And that's the reason some people, you can ask them, are you going to church? Well, I'm thinking about it. They're not that passionate. Praise God. But then there's some are just very passionate. Don't even think about it. Don't even ask me. because it's just in my navigation to go to the house of God and to it's just so many more things I can tell you that the fire does.
Yeah.
But because of time, and I want to speak next Sunday, I'm going to have to watch my time here. Because apostle, one coming after me, apostle. I don't want to go too far on his time. But those are some of the things. And let's look at the story. One of the stories I want to tell you about was when the disciples was on the road to, walking on the road to Emmaus. They were really down, and Jesus had just been crucified, somebody they had put all their trust and hope in, and everything, you know, just seemed to be going wrong. And these disciples were sad, they were down, they were depressed. I mean, and guess who shows up? Jesus shows up. And Jesus said, why are y'all so down and so depressed? You know, that's what he kind of asked them. They said, are you a stranger? You hadn't heard what have happened? A man we put all our trust in is dead. But this is what Jesus told him. Said, shouldn't that, if you read the Old Testament, that should have happened. You know, the Old Testament, and this is what Jesus did for them. I mean, he loves us so much. He loves us so much. Let me tell you what he did for these disciples. Let's go to Luke 24. And let's start about the 30th. The 32nd verse, it'll tell us what he did. And they said one to another, didn't our heart burn within us? He released the fire. He relit the fire in them. You know, you can hear the word of God, and that fire will be lit in you when you hear it with revelation. When you hear the revelatory word, your heart will burn. It will burn within you.
Yes.
And they said one to another, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? He opened the word of God. He gave them revelatory knowledge there. He revealed things to them. And their heart began to burn. You know, you can hear some messages sometimes. You'll be like, oh, God, woo. You know, your heart just gets set on fire. So the word of God, the revelatory word of God, will set your heart on fire if your fire gone out.
Amen.
You know, if your fire gone out, let the word of God do something for you. Just don't sit and say, well, I'm just here. You know, no, hear the word of God. And set your heart on fire. Don't let the enemy pass. Let me tell you, if the enemy puts your fire out, guess what else he's coming for? The enemy just don't hang out with you. Never hang out with the enemy, because he's just not hanging out. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's just not hanging out with you. He's there for a purpose, for a reason. So set your heart on fire. Keep that fire. That fire is very important. Okay, we see how he, where I want to go to is Exodus. I'm rushing, but Exodus, the third chapter. Let's do that. Everybody's familiar with that burning bush.
Yeah.
The fire. You know, but let's go here and talk about that when we're talking about the fire. Okay, Exodus, the third chapter. Let's start at the first verse. Let's see where Moses was. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. You know, what was happening in Moses' life right now, it wasn't a good time. He was on the, like on the backside of the desert. This wasn't one of his best times. Moses had experienced being a prince. And now he's keeping sheep that not even of his own. They're not even his own sheep. I mean, he has really, it would be like somebody that been a prince and now they're just living on the side of the road or something. I mean, his life was just turned all around. And everybody know the story. That happened when he had to flee. Moses killed the man. And he had to flee for his life. And this is the place he went to. Keeping somebody else's sheep, you know. But this tells me something about him. He's working, he's keeping, you know, the word of God say how you take care of another man's things is the way.
Amen.
So we have to remember this. Moses is taking very good care of his father-in-law's sheep. He has brought him back to the backside of the desert here. And no doubt Moses is thinking about, all I wanted to do was to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And he tried to do it in his own way. He killed someone because he was trying to do it in his own strength, in his own way. But that was still in his heart. He still wanted to see them delivered. He knew that he was a part of the Israelite, although he was raised as a prince in the house of Pharaoh. There was something in him that said, hey, I don't want my people living this way, or, you know. And this was, even though he was in the backside of a desert, this is still going through him.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord, this is the second verse, appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. Now, bushes burning in those times, I mean, he was out in the desert. Bushes caught on fire a lot out there. So this wasn't nothing new. But because this bush would not burn, because it wouldn't burn up, the bush was consumed with God's fire. But it wasn't burning up. Moses said, whoo, I'm going to turn aside and I'm going to take time out of my work. Take time out of what I'm doing. You know, sometimes we just need to take time out of what we're doing and just get into the presence of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we could be watching TV. We could be doing a lot of things that we do in the natural. But he took the time out. He said, I'm gonna take time out and I'm gonna look at this bush that's burning. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, long as he was busy, God couldn't talk to him.
Oh, that's good.
But when he turned aside to see, the Lord said, okay, I'm getting his attention. I'm getting the attention of Moses. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I, a talking bush. He said, here am I. You know? Okay, let's see what else he said. And he said, draw now hither and put off their shoes from off their feet, for the place where they are standing is holy ground. The fire help produces our holiness.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's burning up the things that is impure in us. See, He had to take off his shoes because his shoes represented what? It represented all the dirt and the things of the world. So he took off his shoes because God's going to put him on some gospel shoes. Those Amen. Shoes that he tells us to put on.
Amen.
He tells us to put on his shoes. Okay. He takes them off because God said the ground you're standing on is holy. Because he needed to do something for Moses. Y'all know, I'm going to tell you, y'all thought Moses' life started on the mountain when he got up there and spent 40 days. Honey, the change in Moses started when he stopped
pushed down
in the presence of God, huh?
I said when he was pushed in that basket down the Nile River.
Said when what now?
She started his mother.
At the beginning of the
baby.
No.
When he was born.
When he was put in the Nile River, yeah, that was very, that's a good one. That's when his life, you know, begun. But his ministry,
yes.
Most of the time we think his ministry started when he was on top of a mountain and 40 days with God. No, God did something for him at this burning bush. He brought him into holiness.
Yeah.
Because see, I'm going to tell you, his mind was loaded with, I killed a man. I never killed a man before. The burning bush, the fire was burning up all that. The burning bush was burning up some things in his life that needed burning up.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
It was burning. Praise God. The fire of God would burn up everything that needs to be
Amen.
Burned up. And it would light up everything that needs to be lit up. The burning bush is very important. Fire, don't be afraid of God's fire.
Amen.
It won't burn you up. It's not destructive fire. Only when he needs to use it as destructive. The fire he's doing for his people, honey, it's burning up. Some things in our life need to be burnt up.
And I think it can hurt, but it's like you said, it's like the bush did not burn. It's like it burns you, but it's like a holy fire. So it's not, that's why they listen, he was like, the bush is not burning, but it's on fire.
It's a holy fire. It would burn up the things that need to be burned up in your life.
Right.
Sometimes some of our ways and things, you know, we need to put them on the fire. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Every sacrifice needs some little fire.
Amen.
All of that.
Praise God.
The fire was what took care of the sacrifice.
Amen.
The fire
you
is what
going to sacrifice on the fire.
Amen.
You put your body as a living sacrifice.
A living, not a dead, but a living sacrifice. Get some of those things burned up, some of the way.
Come on.
Some of the attitudes, some of the ways that we have that are not like God.
Come on now.
He had to deal with Moses.
That's right.
Yeah.
Moses' ministry, I mean, it started there. He had to do some things in his life that he couldn't do. Who hands was up? I seen some hands. Okay.
There's one thing that...
Blow your trumpet, talk loud. Everybody want to hear.
There's one thing we need to recognize. When he came out of the desert, it said that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth.
It so did something things, for him.
It got him to the point that God could use him.
Amen.
He was the meekest, most teachable man, obedient on the face of the earth.
Yes.
Praise God for the fire.
Amen.
Thank God for the fire. The fire, even when the word goes forth and it hits you. Mm-hmm. Honey, don't say, hey, that ain't for me, that's for my neighbor. Let that fire of the word just help you out there.
Amen.
Cleanse you up. But his ministry started there powerfully. God did something.
It says in chapter 7,
uh-huh.
As a result of that fire, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh. That's the reason why he lived 120 years. He was not on crutches. He was not in a wheelchair. This man, I wouldn't take him on. And his vitality was still there. His eyesight was still there. If God had not have just ended it, he probably still would be alive today. Because God made him, he says it, I make you as God to Pharaoh.
Yeah, he was going up against Pharaoh.
That's right.
I mean, that wasn't no easy little devil. That wasn't no demon. That was the devil himself.
Yeah, that's right.
He was going up against Pharaoh, and he needed some things burnt out of his life and some things lit in his life.
Yeah, and Pharaoh, didn't serve Ra and Baal and all these other gods. Like, he probably had all kinds of, demons and stuff. I just thought of Pharaoh now was very, out there. So,
they actually had a ceremony when he became Pharaoh, and this happened to all pharaohs. When they become Pharaoh, they would do a raising of Osiris ceremony to where they would go into the temple of Osiris for 40 days, and the spirit of Osiris would indwell them, and they would come out as Osiris and a god.
Wow.
That's how it was done.
And you know, he wouldn't let them go. He just said, no, I'm not letting you be.
This connects with our book, we're studying.
Yes, it does. Because
that's what the church is, I've heard it.
That's what the church is missing, the fire.
We gotta have the holiness before we walk in the power.
Boy.
Yeah. We gotta have that fire to quench us and make us take care of us in every area.
Come on.
Because when the church gets that holiness,
that's right.
Woo, we're gonna walk just like Jesus did, because the word said he walked with power according to the holiness.
Come to carnal.
Okay, go ahead, sister.
I believe in another revelation, God is revealing to us that there are a lot of Moseses out here.
Woo, glory.
And we, as the church, even though back then we wasn't there, but we can spiritually see some of the Moseses, the ones that's got a lot of fame, got a lot of money, got everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some of them mothers have prayed for them children that have went afar off. But when a mama, a mother, a praying mother, a daughter of God, get down in her secret place and get personal with the Lord and begin to see the Lord as he wants us to become like the next move of God.
Come on.
When we begin to really let the Holy Ghost start doing that surgery, all them attitudes, all them ain'ts and don't like, and I don't care, they didn't pray for me, all that got to be out the way. Got to be eradicated. And it got to be about, Jesus, what do you want?
Yeah.
What would you do? How do I come? How do I enter in? How do I annihilate that devil? How do I cut his head off? How do I do this, Lord? Because it's not about me, it's about you, and about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in this kingdom family, and that kingdom family, and that kingdom family, as it is in heaven. How, Lord? That's it. That's
okay. My students are on fire this morning. That's all I wanted to do, just light the flame. Light the flames.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you can.
Don't let Satan deceive you about this coming generation.
Yeah.
It's being born and lies down.
Come on.
Why are they on this earth?
Yeah.
Bring in the presence of Almighty
Amen.
God.
Yeah.
Why have we prayed for
them? Amen. Martin? Come on.
Because our prayers are going to be answered.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be a part of it too.
Amen.
If these kids, these babies, these young people, what Satan's tell us colleges have them, has their mind and all. That's a lie. They are born. They are born on the presence of God. We know the truth, and that truth is setting these kids free.
Amen.
These drug addicts and all, don't be concerned. Pray for them, love them. They will walk in the power and the anointing and the love of Jesus like we've never thought about loving
him.
Because the word says, if he forgives much, loves much.
Come on.
He's forgiven us from anything that we love him badly.
Come on.
We're going to see such a love in this nation, such a love in this people, such a power, such anointing, such strength, such operation and gifts. Well, it's beyond our imagination, but it's in our imagination because it's in our spirit.
Come on.
God will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
All right, Pastor, give me just one more minute because I got a little flat fire here. These students are on fire.
Amen.
Woo! Just give me just let me borrow 3 or 4 more of your minutes. Hiya, oh my, yeah. Okay. Papa Shania. Mosekeya. Moby said, I am the God, thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's introducing himself to Moses. God always introduced himself to every generation.
Yes, amen.
Praise God.
Start with us,
Baba Shandia. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Yes. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And heard their cry.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You know, some people said the time was a law, but the time was a law because the cry was a law.
My God. Come on.
How about Shania? When they cry out, do we have some people crying out? Glory, hallelujah.
Thank
God said, I hear them.
Yes.
I don't think you don't hear that.
Lord.
When y'all come here on Tuesday morning crying out,
thank you,
don't
Lord.
Think he's down here. He hear you.
Amen.
Praise God. He said, not only do I hear them, I have seen.
Amen.
Woo! Can see ya.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay. Praise God. Shakatata.
Thank you.
Museke gakania. Okay, I'm just going to stop here. I'm not finished. Mishikaya. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I should go unto Pharaoh that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? And he had said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain.
Amen.
Where I'm talking to you at.
Yes, amen. Right.
When you bring them out.
Right.
You know, Moses wasn't the only man that God had to tell him to take off his shoe. Let's read Joshua 5 and 15. I'm getting out the way now. Joshua 5 and 15.
Good stuff right here. Good stuff.
This is when Joshua was going to Jericho. And Jericho was so shut up that it didn't seem like they were going to get victory there. It seemed like they weren't going to be able to take it. And the captain of the Lord host said unto Joshua, loose that shoe from off that foot. He told Joshua the same thing he told Moses, because he was about to do something for Joshua that he needed, that he would be able to take Jericho.
Glory!
Ooh, glory!
Ha, ba, 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 ba. For the place whereon thou standest is holy.
Ooh,
hallelujah. Ha, ya, ya, niya. And Joshua did so. Okay, I'm way out of time. I thank you for giving me lots of your time, Apostle, but glory, hallelujah.
You had the scripture to read, right?
Yes. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you.
I wanted to read Jeremiah should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not be a son to reign upon his throne, which is David is a type of Jesus. With the Levites, the priests, my ministry. What he's saying, if you can stop the more